The title of the lesson today is Sexual. The purpose of this lesson is to take us out of all that conning, deception, deceiving, beguiling, seducing, hornswoggling, defrauding. It's the Word of God, and it can help us with that. The long title of this lesson is The Art of Dealing with Loaded Words. Are the words sex, sexual, and sexuality loaded words that are best avoided in polite company? It's a yes or no question. How many vote yes? How many vote no? Okay, we got polite company here. We're ladies and gentlemen. We don't have any small children here, so the parents still have the say on appropriate age for them to hear such things. How many of you here, within the sound of my voice or in sight of the text of this message or lesson, are ready right now to avoid these loaded words? There is so much occurring in American social intercourse that constitutes perverse, in-your-face provocation. It resembles assault by legion. Did I say intercourse? Is this assault by legion inescapable? Greetings, kindred and fellow sheep. We are on a first-name basis here. My name is Walter. I am not your teacher. Our master is Jesus Christ. I, like you, am your classmate in God's classroom. My role in this pulpit is pedagogue, the term meaning the one who is supposed to lead you to the real teacher. Shall we attempt an example of what we want to escape by using a less charged, more unloaded term? Term. What is a term? Could this get complicated? How complicated is unloading loaded words? Term. Noun. Brackets. From the Latin word terminus, a limit or boundary. Close the brackets. Signification number 7. In grammar, a word or expression, that which fixes or determines ideas. Oh man, that'd be a horror to the Bolshevistic left, wouldn't it? Can we see there might be a way out of this confusion? Let's go to Job. For those of you who still have good eyesight and can follow along in your sword, I highly recommend that. If you follow these scriptures in your own sword, you're going to be able to take what we're doing here today as classmates in God's classroom, and you will have a ready answer for someone who asks concerning the hope we have within us. And that hope is flat out eternal life, which Adam lost in the garden. In the book of Job, the oldest book in the library of God, according to its reputation, as old as the materials that Moses used for the writing of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Job, in earnest prayer, asked God, quote, "Shew me wherefore thou contendest with me." Do we ever get a feeling from time to time that God and us are fighting? I mean, fights are not uncommon in family, right? Husbands fight wives, wives fight husbands. Children scrap, play sandbox with each other, bang over the head with a shovel. I kept throwing sand on my brother, my younger brother, Gerald James. He's a pastor, now a pastor emeritus, and a bishop to other pastors. Look forward to fellowship with him. Someday he's moved to Georgia. He left New Jersey. He jumped out of the fire and went to the hot cast iron frying pan. But the Georgia, what do they call those stones, Pastor Don?
Guidestones.
Guidestones, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. They're gone, blowed up. Is that from God? Could be from God's warriors. In Job chapter 10, may we recite together in unison verse number 15. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction. You know, there's something about the book of Job. I read certain portions of it, and I get this huge feeling that Job knew a lot more about God's will and God's way and God's work than I do. Quote, see thou mine affliction, unquote. Are we full of confusion in a confusing age? Let's go to Psalms, the 71st. The 71st Psalm. Keep looking it up in your sword. Keep following. Shall we pray? Shall we pray the prayer of the 71st Psalm in unison, verse 1? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never let me be put to confusion in Jesus' name. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. It'll be the first of Paul's letters to the Corinthians. Chapter number 14. We'll be looking at verse 33. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're looking at verse number 33. Does confusion have an author? Let us read together out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in unison, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Who do we find is the author of confusion? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. The second of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, we'll be looking at verse 11. What is the foremost question we should ask about loaded words? We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let us recite together in unison verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. How hard is it for the adversary to employ his devices? Does Satan lack volunteers? Do his volunteers fall into his lap? Are his volunteers taken captive by him at his will? Is every volunteer for Jesus hard fought, hard won, blood bought? Is that why we seem to be losing every battle until we finally win the war? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Does every volunteer for Jesus have the comfort of the Father of Israel's promise? We're in Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter number 4. Look at verse 7. Let us read together out of Philippians chapter 4 in unison, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Ever wonder what the word keep means? It's translated from the Koine Greek word, number 5432, phrureo, which has the seminal signification to mount a guard. Does this mean the peace of God mounts a guard in our hearts and minds? Shall we use the promise of Israel's God? What is the foremost question we should ask concerning loaded words? Are we, quote unquote, ignorant of Satan's devices? Who loaded these words, sex, sexual, and sexuality? Is the work of the author of confusion everywhere evident here in our day? Shall we attempt an example of what we want to escape by using a word less loaded? Take, for example, the use of the word overturn. Remember where we've heard that? Overturn? Whenever people with a sense of responsibility encounter trespasses of state election laws and breaches of the state constitution, they are routinely and universally accused of attempting to overturn the election. Berserker accusations are commonplace in 2020's social intercourse. Does the first to accuse win? Is it possible to unload the word overturn? Have we thought to ask, who can overturn an already overturned election? Hello? Does Lucifer accuse the brethren of crimes he is committing? The first things we notice about the words sex, sexual, sexuality is none of them appear in the scriptures. These English words are not in the Bible. They do appear in the 1828 Webster's First American Dictionary in the English language. Sex. Noun. Brackets. From the Latin word sexus. From the Latin verb seco. To divide. Signification number one. The distinction between male and female, or the property or character by which an animal is male or female. The male sex is usually characterized by muscular strength, boldness, and firmness. The female sex is characterized by softness, sensibility, and modesty, etc. Signification number two. By way of emphasis, womankind, females. And a few quotes from English literature from the poet Dryden. Unhappy sex, whose beauty is your snare. From the English author Milne, M-I-L-N-E. The sex whose presence civilizes ours. Hello, gentlemen. Sexual. Adjective. From the word sex. Signification number one, pertaining to sex or the sexes, distinguishing the sex, denoting what is particular to the distinction and office of male and female, as sexual characteristics, dot, dot, dot. Remember these three dots, we're coming back to them. sexuality, noun. The state of being distinguished by sex. Man, is this ever politically incorrect today? Do the 1828 definitions mean we have been, quote unquote, having sex since the day we were born? Has Noah Webster shown us three English words have been loaded in our time? Did these words have any such disability in Webster's time? He was asked by the Constitutional Convention to help them craft a language for Article 1, Section 8, limiting the Congress to certain subjects upon which they, and only they, could legislate, and no further. He died in the 1840s, and in 1850, the dictionary that bore his name removed all the scripture quotations, all of them. What was wrong with us in 1850? Was it the cause of a judgment, brother killing brother in the not-so-civil Civil War? Does it seem the devil's volunteers, both single-fold and two-fold sons of hell, work overtime as change agents into the English language? And why not? Consider the source. What else should we expect from wretched, miserable rebels against the Good Shepherd, against the God and author of peace? How did the change agents, sons of hell, get these three words loaded for our time? The last days. Return above to the adjective sexual. Are we still looking at it? Can you scroll so we can look at sexual again? Where it says dot, dot, dot? Okay, there it is, dot, dot, dot. Okay, let's go back down. We've noticed the three periods in punctuation indicating there is more left off. I did that to parse this subject with questions. Shall we add back what was left off from the definition for the adjective sexual? After the dot, 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 it reads, sexual intercourse, connection, or commerce. Are all of those pretty safe words to use in front of children when the parents are present? When the parents are present, yes. Sexual intercourse, sexual connection, sexual commerce. The American English of 1828 added the words intercourse, connection, and commerce. The American English of 1828 is age appropriate. Has the American English of the 21st century limited the word sexual exclusively to intercourse, connection, and commerce? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22. We'll be looking at verse number 6. Does the public fool system of our day wish to appropriate the duty of parents to, quote unquote, train up a child in the way he should go, unquote? Do the sex educators of the U.S. Department of Education have aggressive sex education lesson plans fully developed for little children with organs not fully developed? Hello? The special teachers that teach, quote unquote, from these aggressive sex education lesson plans, are they already, quote unquote, teaching? Are those trained to teach these abominations chomping at the bit and stomping their hooves awaiting the day parents are handcuffed at home and the immune children can be abused at school? Are they already accusing the parents of being the terrorists? Is accusing your enemies of the crimes you have been systematically committing all along a classic favorite in the satanic bag of tricks? Purple for Parents has copies of the lesson plans and the evidence they are already being taught. Let us read together out of Proverbs chapter 22 in unison, verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Quote, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, unquote. Will an old public fool graduate not depart from pedophilia? Airplane barf bag, anybody? Do they mock our God? Classmates, you are my classmates in God's classroom. What unloaded word or words could we substitute instead of or in place of sex, sexual, and sexuality? Any ideas? In 1828, Webster, what did Noah Webster's study of word origins show us how we should define sex, sexual, sexuality? When we think of the terms male and female, what English word refers to both? Gender. Noun from the Latin word genus, from geno, digno. In the Greek, it means to beget or to be born. In the English, it means kind. Genus means kind. We have begun from the same root. Signification number one, properly kind or sort. Signification number two, a sex, male or female. Hence, signification number three, in grammar, a difference in words to express distinction of sex, usually a difference in terminations of nouns, adjectives, and participles to express the distinction of male and female. But although this was the original design of different terminations, yet in the progress of language, other words having no relation to one sex or the other came to have genders assigned to them by custom. Words expressing males are said to be of the masculine gender, those expressing females of the feminine gender, and in some languages, words expressing things having no sex are of the neuter or neither gender. Did you catch that? Neuter means neither gender, so the only genders are male and female. Thank you. Gender, verb transitive, to beget. But engender is more generally used. Gender, verb intransitive, to copulate, to breed. Leviticus 19. What's in Leviticus 19? That's 1828 Webster. Verse 19 of Leviticus chapter 19 states in pertinent part, quote, thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind, unquote. If we let our cattle gender with a diverse kind, what law of creation order do we transgress? Ever hear that old bluegrass song about Georgia mules? I found out from the Amish why people use mules instead of horses. If you don't know what you're doing with horses, horses will work till they drop dead. That's a huge loss. One Amishman told me, we use mules because when they're done, they don't drop dead. They just quit. They won't go any further. You might as well unhitch them and lead them back to their stall. Does that sound like a flaw in stewardship? Crop and animal husbandry? Hello? Israel was good at it at one time. Especially when we were in obedience to God. Is that any better? Have we succeeded in unloading the loaded words sex, sexual, sexuality? Uh-oh. Transgender. Are they attacking us at every point on the compass? Transgender does not appear in the 1828 Webster. Transgression is there, but not transgender. This word transgender is a later invention in American English. Does the devil, quote, knoweth that he hath but a short time, unquote, Revelation chapter 12. One of the most glaring but unnoticed changes these wretched, miserable change agents have invented is the word homosexual. This word homosexual is a later invention in the American English. Why invent the word homosexual? Is this a satanic device used to control social discourse? Is this a clever device to give adherents and proponents the edge on a debate platform? Does this device include a railing accusation, quote unquote, homophobic? Is this aggressive, accusatorial, prosecutorial, civilization-canceling platform designed to secure to abusers additional civil rights unavailable to Americans made victims of practices that war on public hygiene, sanitation, and health? Will the abusers have all the civil rights while the quote-unquote hateful bigots accused of being Christians are robbed of their living and liberty and trodden down in the mire? Will even that fail to satisfy the abusers? Are abusers genocidal maniacs? Should sheep remain stupid? Should the sheep stand between the rails of the express train railroad tracks with palm of hand extended forward in the classic stop sign? Or should we loosen a few bolts and move one of the rails outwards slightly? How do we sheep get the edge back on the debate platform? What do we do to move a section of railroad track outwards slightly? And for God's sake, I do not want any fair-minded man or woman telling we the people that I advocate derailing trains. Let the abusers, the wretched, miserable rebels against God, expose themselves while we the people consider the source. Derailing a train is a word picture, a metaphor to help us strategize with wisdom. Did I fail to make my point? Who is the author of wisdom? Shall we make use of God's wisdom to strategize a way to level the debate platform against the common use of the loaded words sex, sexual, sexuality, transgender, and homosexual? Thinking caps, anybody? Forgot mine today. You better put yours on. How do we derail the abuser's express freight train of loaded words in every boxcar coming full speed down the tracks to unlevel and slant every debate platform? How do we sheep know God's will, to walk in God's way, to do God's work, and derail this metaphorical express freight train of loaded words? How do we do this the Jesus way and not the heathen way? My friends at Mission to America had this beautiful poster. Chuck, can you pass those out? This beautiful poster portraying hills of gently sloped pasture near still waters with sheep feeding, resting, and enjoying where the Good Shepherd has led them. Printed on this peaceful background are God's will, God's way, God's work, a concise definition for each, and a scripture illustrating each step. Let's go to Psalms, the 143rd. Keep these close. We're using them. Verse 10. We're in the book of Psalms. We're looking at the 143rd Psalm, specifically verse 10. God's will on this pastoral poster is defined as, quote, exactly what I would choose if I knew all the facts. Selah. A lot of you know that as Selah in the book of Psalms, in the end time prophet Habakkuk, or Habakkuk as some say. Out of Psalms, the 143rd, let us read together in unison verse number 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quote, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Unquote. What is God's will in dealing with change agents loading words to slant every debate platform? What would Jesus do? Better yet, what did Jesus do? Does the most ancient literature in Adam, the Library of God, contain a built-in dictionary? Does any student of the Bible know the three-letter word defined as, quote-unquote, the transgression of the law? Thank you. I didn't have to go Pentecostal on you. I have encountered a couple of brothers in the common faith who are in the habit of saying, quote-unquote, words have meaning. If God took care to define his terms, should we do what God did? If we do what God did, would we have blessed assurance we are doing God's will? Should we take care to define the terms in our speech the way God defined them? Should we, as the children of God, do what our Heavenly Father did? Is God's will exactly what we would choose if we knew all the facts? Did we know all the facts? Does our lack of success on the debate platform indicate no? Should sheep remain stupid? Are the tactics of God's enemies moving goalposts, definitions for words like racist, racism, homosexual, homophobic? How, in the face of that, do we perform God's will according to God's way? How well do we understand God's way? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. We're looking at verse 12. God's way on the pastoral poster is defined as exactly the opposite of my natural inclinations. How much does that tell us about ourselves subsequent to the fall of Adam in the garden? Did we know all the facts? When do we ever know all the facts? Does our lack of success on the debate platform indicate no? Should sheep remain stupid? Are the tactics of God's enemies moving goalposts, definitions for words like racist, racism, homosexual, homophobic? We're in Proverbs chapter 14, looking at verse 12. Let us read together in unison. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Have we sheep found the source of our stupidity? Is our own carnal nature our own very worst enemy? Public enemy number one. Let's go to Proverbs. We're still in Proverbs. Chapter 16. Verse 25, how urgently does God want to impress upon us the wicked nature of our desperate condition? If we die in our own carnal nature without the birth from above, are we utterly sold out unto the second death, a death infinitely more terrifying than the first death, the common death of Adam? Is God a terrorist? What does he have to do to get our attention? How slippery is that slope down to the door of the second death? We're in Proverbs chapter 16. Let us recite together in unison verse number 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Whoa, what happened? Didn't we just read that? God repeated himself. Does God have to repeat himself? Yes? No? No, he doesn't have to do anything. So why does he do it here? If God chooses to repeat what he has already said, should that get our attention? Is God's way exactly the opposite of our natural inclinations? Have we been losing the debate on the slanted debate platform? Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 21. We're in Paul's epistle to the Romans chapter 6. Are we sick and tired of losing in our losing? May we read together out of Romans chapter 6 in unison, verse number 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We're already going to die anyway. Which death are they talking about here? The Holy Spirit and Paul. They're talking about the second death, aren't they? Infinitely more terrifying than the first death. How well do we understand God's way? Does our losing the debate on the slanted debate platform tell us we do not have a complete understanding of God's way? Put a mark in Matthew chapter 22. It's getting serious here. Put a mark in Matthew chapter 22. We're going to read verses 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33. Did the Sadducees intend to slant the debate platform on the question of the resurrection? Did they frame a trick question to trap Jesus? We have a very good custom here at Fellowship of God's Covenant People. When we're reading God's Word, on occasion, we like to stand in honor of God and His Word. May we do so now and do these verses responsively. Classmates, would you take the odd-numbered verses? Let me respond with the even-numbered verses. We are in Matthew chapter number 22. You read first, classmates, verse number 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Did the Sadducees understand they were confronting the holy author of the scriptures? Please be seated. The multitude, quote, were astonished at his doctrine. Six times in the scriptures, we find the phrase, astonished at his doctrine, the doctrine of the Lord. What astonished the multitude here? Did Jesus preach something the priesthood did not? Did Jesus say, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living? Do we want to be among the dead or among the living? Who are the dead of whom God is not the God of? Does being alive unto Christ mean we are dead unto this world? Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. Let's go to the second book of Moses, Exodus chapter 3. We'll be looking at verse number 6. Where did God speak unto the Sadducees, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? Classmates, we are in Exodus chapter number 3. Let us read together in unison verse number 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Had Moses led the flock of his father-in-law Jethro to the backside of the desert, nigh unto the mountain of God, even Horeb, opposite Sinai in Arabia, as Galatians tells us? Is this Moses standing without shoes on holy ground at the burning bush? Let's go to the fourth gospel, John, chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 46 and 47. We're in the fourth gospel, the gospel of John. Chapter 5. Let us read these responsively. Classmates, let me take verse 46. Would you please respond with verse number 47? We're in John chapter 5. I read first verse number 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Did the Sadducees believe Jesus? Have you heard the old saying, that's why they're sad, you see? Have we seen the Sadducees brought a trick question to Jesus? What did Jesus tell them? Look back to Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. What did Jesus tell them? Quote, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. If we, as the followers of Christ, know the scriptures and the power of God, are we able, as Christ was, to solve a trick question posed to us in our time? What trick question is presented to us in our time by those who are sad, you see? Upon what does this trick question revolve? Does the relatively new word homosexual contain a loaded word? What is that loaded word? All together now? Sexual. Yes. It's the loaded word in homosexual. The agenda is homosexuals need extra civil rights because of their history as an oppressed minority. And Americans need no rights. Hello? Failure to cooperate labels Americans as homophobes, a crime akin to terrorism. The agenda dictates that Americans have been so mean and nasty toward homosexuals that these draconian measures are absolutely necessary and imperative to right the wrong. Indeed, the agenda dictates only the draconian measures can right the wrong of centuries. Should we use the wisdom of Christ and rely on the power of God? What can we use as a load leveler against the slant in the public debate platform? What makes the question or issue of homosexual rights such a thorny one? Does the term resurrection appear in the Bible? Yes. From Genesis unto Malachi, zero times. That's not even a number, it's a cipher. And from Matthew unto Revelation, 41 times in 40 verses. Let's go to John chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. In these verses, Jesus has, with the apostles and disciples, arrived after Lazarus' death at his tomb. Classmates, would you let me read from John chapter 11, verse 24, and would you please respond with verse number 25? We're in John chapter 11. I read first verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Quote, though he were dead, unquote. Were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dead when Moses spoke with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the burning bush? Did we just read that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6? Were those who were sad, you see, ignorant? Does ignorant mean we do not know something? They did not know God is not the God of the dead. How bad is the bad news for the dead? How good is the good news for those who are eligible to live again? After the first blood sacrifice, when Adam and his wife received the animal skins to replace the fig leaves, apparently God didn't like their choice of dress. Did Adam prophesy in naming his wife Eve? Hello? What does the name Eve mean? Does the name Eve mean, quote, the mother of all living, unquote, the mother of all those eligible to live again, Genesis chapter 3. Wow. So she's not the mother of all cockroaches, all mice, all swine. She's the mother of all those eligible to live again. Does the invention homosexual appear in the Bible? The invention homosexual does not even appear in 1828 Webster. Does the invention homosexual fit the definition of term within its grammatical meaning in 1828 Webster? Term, signification number 7 in grammar, a word or expression that which fixes or determines ideas. Does the invention homosexual fix or determine an idea? Or is it more like the invention racism racist? Are the inventions homosexual and racism racist anything and nothing and nothing and anything? Are they all portable goalposts? According to 1828 Webster, they are not grammatical. Hello? If we define grammar as the laws of our native language, are those inventions lawless? How fitting for wretched, miserable rebels who hate Jesus Christ and all his followers. Why do we sheep take this dung in our face? Are we stupid? Are we stupid? Are we sheep? Hello? I've been wanting for years, and I don't know why I don't think of it when I order books. I've been wanting for years to order this book that has this most interesting title. The title of this book is The Shock of Recognition. I've been curious for... I hope I get this done and get that punched on my bucket list before God takes me home. I've been wanting to see what's in that book. The Shock of Recognition. We are sheep. Abortion rights were foisted on Americans in the wake of the most massive ignorance of basic biology in history. I recover from that slightly. When I went to a school for the healing arts and took 4,620 hours in anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, pathology, diagnosis, etc., etc., etc. Got converted twice. Hello. Will homosexual rights be foisted on Americans in the wake of the most massive ignorance of basic biology in history? 1828 Webster defines abuse.
New Year.
Noun. Ill use. Improper treatment or employment. Application to a wrong purpose. As an abuse of our natural powers. Coming home yet? An abuse of civil rights or of religious privileges. Abuse of advantages, and etc. Look at this quote Webster has in the reproduction of the 1828 Webster's First American Dictionary of the English Language. It's from Madison, one of the Federalist Papers. Liberty may be endangered by the abuses of liberty as well as by the abuses of power. Hello? Think these boys knew something? Signification number 2, abuse. A corrupt practice or custom, as the abuses of government. Signification number 4, seduction. A quote from Sidney, an English author. After the abuse, he forsook me. How many young ladies have that complaint today? If the men of this country ever came to an understanding of the damage they can do to young girls, women, families, indeed the whole nation. And if every young man would make it his mission that every sweet lady in this country should get the husband of God's own choosing. If we would do that, if we men would stand up and do that, the whole face of this nation would change and leave the heathen in the dust. Signification number 5. Here's where the lesson comes home. Perversion of meaning. Improper use or application as an abuse of words. Abused, past participle. The S is pronounced as a Z. Abused. Ill-used, used to a bad purpose. Perverted to bad or wrong ends. Deceived, defiled, violated. Hello? Abuser, noun. The S is pronounced as a Z. One who abuses. A ravisher. A what? A altogether now? Sodomite. Why don't we use the language of Scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Webster says. Abuse, verb transitive. S pronounced as Z from the Latin word abutor. Abusus. Of ab, meaning away from, and utor, to use. And then he says, see use. Compare use with abuse. Signification number 1. To use ill. To maltreat, to misuse, to use with bad motives or to wrong purposes. As to abuse rights or privileges. They that use this world as not abusing it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Signification number 2, catch this, to violate, to defile by improper sexual intercourse. Our legal system used to call it a crime against nature. 1828 Webster. In our research of the term abuse, did we see the lawless invention homosexual? Signification number 5, remember that one? Perversion of meaning, improper use or application as an abuse of words. Let us return to the pastoral poster. We're getting ready to wrap this up here. God's work. Do we know how to do God's work in God's vineyard? The pastoral poster reads, God's work. Exactly what Jesus would do if he were in my situation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, the first gospel, Matthew chapter 6. Let us recite together in unison verse number 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. In order to fix in the law extra civil rights for homosexuals, would wisdom dictate we have to have a list and an accurate description of the acts, deeds, or doings they wish to have as specially protected activities? Can we imagine sodomites testifying before Congress the lurid biological details of their crimes against nature in rank opposition to our laws of public hygiene and sanitation? Are most of them so out of the closet they'd be stupid enough to do it? Hello? On the other hand, the monsters of evil will scream, quote-unquote, invasion of privacy! These are the same Bolsheviks that want to turn sodomites loose in our public marketplaces and public parks. Did I say sodomites? Well, that means I'm not picking on the homosexuals, am I? Hello. How grateful have we been? How thankful are we to the God of our salvation for all the exposure of the public school system's curricula? Are we grateful God in His will has manifested public fools teach children being victims of pedophilia is natural? Has the bishop of our souls already gone before us? Has the good shepherd already led in the way we should go? Shall we in God's work insist on accurate descriptions of the acts, deeds, or doings they wish to have as specially protected activities? Would anything less make the law unenforceable? If the persecutor, the prosecutor does not intend to prove that I violated the rights of sodomites to engage in their specially protected activities, has he already admitted I have committed no offense? Has he failed to state a claim upon which relief can be granted? I move the case be dismissed with prejudice. Judge, did the prosecutor know or should he have known that his filing charges would be frivolous? I move he be assessed damages for my expenses out of his own pocket, not the public treasury, for acting outside his scope of authority. Who here has heard of the void for vagueness doctrine? Pastor Jane, got your real ears to the rail again. You can hear the train coming. The void for vagueness doctrine means the law is unenforceable. It's so vague it could convict anybody. They already had that in the IRS code, Title 26 of the United States Code. Gets even more specific. You can find more loopholes by not reading the code, but by looking at the Code of Federal Regulations attached to each one of the provisions or sections of the code. With that, it should be void for vagueness. They can get anybody with that. That's the whole idea. Sheep, wake up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 17. I may have a misprint on that. Yeah, says 16. Sorry about that. We're going to do 17 too. Should we join the great I Am, our God, in His work, exposing their wicked deeds? Shall Christians shed light into a dark place? Shall we stand for the last scripture reading in honor of the Good Shepherd, who has done, is doing, and will do all things according to His will, His way, and His work? We're in Ephesians chapter number 5. May we stand. Classmates, would you let me take the odd-numbered verses? Would you respond with the even-numbered verses? In Ephesians chapter number 5, I read first verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Look back at verse 13. Could we read that together in unison? We're in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read together in unison verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Is that the old light and darkness trick? Turn on the lights and watch the cockroaches scurry? What do homosexuals do? Thank you.